Well, hello, ladies. How are you all doing? I think we're good enough friends now I can bring my coffee up with me, right? We're going to do something a little bit different for this session. And first, I want to play a video for you. The pottery that I do, that's what I do. But what you see over here in this ministry from Uganda, that's where my heart is. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit. And I'll tell you, I could talk for days about that, and I could tell you stories that would just blow you away. But I only have just a short amount of time, so I'm just going to tell you one of those. But before we start, I'm going to have Jackie, who is the founder of Faith Women Ministry. She made a video for you all, and so we're going to play that first. And just one little thing I want to share. So the name of our ministry is Faith Women Ministry, and when Jackie told me what the name was over 10 years ago, I go, really, Jackie? That's all you came up with, Faith? I mean, couldn't we think of anything more original than Faith Women Ministry? What an idiot I am. You know, it's like that just says it all. Everything about this ministry has been done by faith and faith in God. And so I'm going to have Jackie share a little bit with you, and then I'm going to share the story that I have for today. So go ahead, Jack.
Hello, hello. My name is Jacqueline Angela. I'm the founder and director of Faith Women Ministries and an administrator of Initiative Save African Children. I want to thank everybody who is in this meeting today. I want to thank everybody who has been there for Faith Men Ministry and Isaac Kids. I want to thank our sponsors who are keeping these children in school. And those people who have been donating towards our projects. We have the housing projects where we construct houses for the homeless grandmothers, the disabled grandmothers, the single mothers. Right now we've constructed 42 houses. We make our own bricks as long as we have the material. We have the borehole digging projects where we dig boreholes in different villages. So we have so many things like cows, we raise goats, we raise chicken, we raise pigs in order for these women to be self-independent with their own income. How many people who have been donating towards Faith Women Ministry, God is going to bless you back. That's a guarantee, because when you bless the poor, you've blessed God back. And those who are loving our children, please thank you. For those who are willing to sponsor a child, it's $35 a month. You can contact Carol, and she will have more information about that. All I know is that it's $35 a month and the child goes to school, have one meal a day, has scholastic materials, gets a uniform. Please be part of us. It's unfortunate that I haven't been on this trip today, but I know whether I'm there or I'm not there, God has blessed me with you people, especially the fellow women. God has blessed me with you. I thank you so, so much. Everybody who needs prayers, feel free to reach out to me. Feel free to reach out to Carol. She's one of our strong prayer warriors, if you didn't know that. So I'm so blessed to be part of this meeting in spirit, and I'm praying with you guys because I've seen God changing things. I've seen God working. I've seen God healing. Just a little mustard seed of faith. That's all it takes. Thank you so much, and may God bless you. Hope to see you someday.
So if you will all smile pretty, I'm going to send a picture of y'all to Jackie. So let's see. I'll do one side, and then I'll do the other side. I never do this, but I'm going to do it this time. All right. Well, I had intended on sharing an entirely different story with you all today. And I was talking to Heidi a few weeks ago and sharing with her what we'd been going through for the last couple of months. And she said, well, that's the story that you're sharing with the ladies, right? I said, no. I said, I have a whole different story planned. And she goes, no, that's the story that you're sharing. And so that is the story I'm going to share today. And This story is so fresh that it is unfolding as we speak. And so, like, I was continually adding to my pages as I was writing it because it was happening even up until I left the house. And this story that I'm going to share with you is definitely a story of faith. And it's not faith in faith, but it's faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he is moving just as powerfully today as he did back in Bible times. And that we need to believe him and we need to trust him at his word. You know, we can believe in God, but it's not going to do us any good just believing in God. We need to believe him and the things that he tells us. I know that for all of us here, we are all probably in very different places in our faith walk. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and your faith is strong, or maybe your faith, you've been walking with the Lord for a long time and your faith has been challenged this last year. Or maybe you just have a tiny little mustard seed of faith. Or maybe you have no faith at all, and you've come here today to find your faith. I'm praying right now for each one of you that God will meet you where you're at, and he will show you truly what he means when he says to believe him at his word. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that as I share this story, that you will speak to our hearts, Lord, that you will build up our faith and our trust in you. Lord, we know that you are a God of the impossible, that we sing it and we say it and we pray it, but do we truly believe it, Lord? I just pray that even right now you would open up our eyes, Lord, to see your work, Lord, and that you would cause our hearts to burn within us. So, Lord, we love you and we just give this over to you, Lord. And if there's anybody here who does not yet know you, Lord, I pray that today will be that day of salvation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Okay, well, our story begins. I know I said it was currently going on, but it begins 14 years ago in Jinja, Uganda. So Jackie, that you just heard from, she's the founder of Faith Women Ministry in Jinja, Uganda. But before that, she wasn't. She was just an ordinary young woman, and she used to go deep into the jungles to preach. God had revealed himself to her, and she wanted to reveal God to whoever she came across. And so she would go deep into these villages, and sometimes the villagers would chase her out, but sometimes she would go so deep in, she would get lost. And whenever she got lost, there always appeared this little girl named Rima that would point her in the right direction. And so after a little while, Jackie started bringing a piece of candy for Rima so that, you know, she would thank her for pointing her in the right way. And they became friends. And so one day, some of the girls in the village came running up to Jackie and they said, Rima is dead. And so they're in the Muslim faith. And usually in the Muslim faith, they bury their dead the same day. But because Rima's father was gone that day, they waited till the next day. So the next day, Jackie went running to the village. And she got there just as they were bringing the coffin out. And Jackie said, please, please, let me pray for her. Now, Jackie told me privately, she said, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was going to pray. But God told me to pray for her. So as she's asking to pray for her, they're saying, what do you want to pray for? She's already dead. And she said, please, please let me pray for her. And Rima's grandmother was there, and she said, she's been a good friend to Rima. Let her pray. So they put the coffin down, and Jackie laid hands on the coffin, and she started praying. And she said, there was a bunch of noise going on, and people were talking. And as she's praying, she's thinking, these people are so rude. And then she hears like this. And so she goes, oh my gosh, these people are so rude. And she opened her eyes and she said, and everyone had scattered. And she said, and my eyes got as wide as saucers and I wanted to run too. But God said to stay and keep praying. So she kept praying. And as she's praying, there's the knocking. And then the knocking stopped and they started hearing coughing. And so they opened the coffin and Rima was alive. She was ice cold, and she could no longer hear or speak, but she was alive. So Jackie said to her parents, God gave you your daughter back. And they said, if your God was real, our daughter could hear and speak. And Jackie said, God has delivered your daughter back to you. And they said, that's not our child. And so Jackie took Rima home with her, and that's the first child that Jackie took in out of hundreds that Jackie has taken in. Right now, Jackie has 45 babies from 0 to 1 living in her house, along with those are just the babies. Those aren't even counting the older kids. So Rima is the first child that Jackie took in. And Rima got sponsored, and if anybody wants to talk to me about sponsorship later, I'd love to talk to you about it. But Rima got sponsored, and she went to a school where she learned American Sign Language. She learned English. She learned how to read, and she works at the American Embassy right now in Kampala. And Rima is brilliant. Rima can figure out how to do anything, and she's an amazing seamstress. If we can get that, this is Jackie's glamour shot. Actually, I didn't know that was up. So this is Rima right here. Rima's 21 years old. Can we get the next shot? This is one of the dresses that Rima has made. She's an amazing seamstress. If any of you saw the masks over in the basket over there, Rima made all of those masks. And she's using the money from the masks to buy an oven because she's also an amazing baker. So if you go to the next one, she bakes these cakes. Go to the next one. Look at that. She's had no formal training at all. She looks on YouTube and looks at books and stuff. These are all cakes. This is a cake that looks like an apple. Watch the next. See that? You cut into it. There's the cake. And the next one, the tennis shoe. And the avocado. See, there's the avocado. And was that the last one? Okay. So she even does baking competitions, and she was in a baking competition last year in Norway, and she won 3rd place in that. So now comes our current part of the story. So fast forward to January of this year, and Uganda was having their elections. And if you thought our elections were tumultuous, you should have seen their elections. And it was really scary there. The current president had been president for 36 years, very corrupt, and there was a young guy named Bobby Wine that was running against him, and all of the young people were for him, and it looked in the beginning like maybe he would win. He was very popular, but things got extremely dangerous. I know that the military broke into his house, and at least one of his bodyguards was killed, and it was just extremely dangerous in the streets. The streets were full of shooting and tear gas, and it was really bad. So I texted Jackie. Jackie and I mostly text back and forth with each other. So I had texted her to see if she was okay the day after the elections. And she said, things are so bad here, I need to evacuate the house. And she said, I need to get the kids all up to the village, which they live in Jinja, but the village is about 5.5 hours away. And I said, how are you going to do that? And she said, well, Davis, her brother-in-law, is looking for a van. I said, where in Jinja are you going to find a van to evacuate 58 kids plus a couple of bodyguards and a couple of the older women? And she said, well, we're just praying. So I said, okay, I'm praying with you. And so the next morning I texted her back and I said, did everybody get out safely? And she said, yeah, we evacuated all 58 people. He found a 14-passenger van and he did 3 trips back and forth, 5.5 hours to get everybody evacuated. I said, so everybody's safe now, right? I said, you're in the village? And she said, no, I'm still in Jinja. I said, why didn't you go with them? And she said that Rima and 2 other girls were missing. So what happened was that day before, early in the morning, before all the violence started, they were out of charcoal for cooking. And so Jackie had sent Rima and Sylvia and Linda to town to get some charcoal, and they never came back. And so Jackie says, I can't leave without them. And so we were praying and praying and praying that they would find the girls. And so while I was texting with Jackie, in fact, as I was texting, she told me she had a dream that one of the girls was crying out for her and crying for help and ended up dying. And she said, in the dream, and she said, and I don't know where they are. There's nothing I can do to help. And Jackie has dreams and visions, and they come true. And it sometimes it's a little scary with her dreams, but they're powerful. And so even the president had gotten soldiers to come in from other countries to kill people. They were going after all the young people because they figured the young people were the supporters and they worked on the election and everything. And they were confiscating kids' phones and kidnapping them and all. So while I was texting with Jackie, the police called her and they said that they found the clothing of some of her girls. So she went to the police station, and they ended up finding two of her girls, Sylvia and Linda, in garbage bags. I'm going to give you the sanitized version of the story because it was really bad, but they had been murdered and raped. And then they also found four other girls and one other boy that were dead in garbage bags. But Rima was not among them. And so we were praying that maybe Rima had escaped and she was hiding somewhere. Out of the three girls, Sylvia was the only one that could hear. Sylvia had lived with Jackie for a number of years. And Linda, last summer, Rima brought home 8 deaf-mute teenagers. And I said, Jackie, how are you going to take in 8 teenagers? And she said, well, they were going to be trafficked, so what choice did I have? And so Linda was one of those girls. So she took them in, and Rima was still nowhere to be found. So after the trauma of finding Linda and Sylvia, Jackie started getting ransom calls for Rima. And they were asking for 7 million shillings, which is about $3,000 American. And so they tried to track the calls, but it was apparently a throwaway phone. So the police said, well, we can't track it. And then they said, well, if you give us money, we'll help you. And so most of the police over there are corrupt, and everybody wants money for something. So Jana, who is our administrator, can you put up that next picture, Jack? That's Jana in the middle. And Jana is the one who helped Jackie found Faith Women Ministry. And she's the one that got me on board with Faith Women Ministry. But Jana is our administrator. She lives in Bishop, California, and she takes care of all of our finances and all of the sponsorships and everything. And Jana is like a grandmother to Rima. And so she said that she would pay the ransom for Rima. We had wondered how the kidnappers had got Jackie's phone number, but Jana told us that on her last trip to Uganda, she had gotten Rima a bracelet that said she was deaf-mute, and it had Jackie's phone number on there. So that's how they got the phone number. But we wanted to make sure that Rima was alive and well before we gave them the money. And so we were asking for proof that she was alive. And Jana and I, being American, were saying, you know, well, can you have them FaceTime her, you know? And Jackie said that she was going to wait until morning and go to the police and see what their plan was. But she told me, she said, my soul says that she's still alive, but she's fighting. So Jasmine, Jack, you want to get the next picture? This is Jasmine. And Jasmine is an American pediatrician who lives in Boston. And she's become very much a part of our ministry. We are a very small ministry. There is me and Jana and Jasmine here in the States. And there's Jackie and Dr. Dwyer there in Uganda. And all the rest is God. And so God has done a great deal with a very little. But Jasmine has been a huge supporter of ours. Her husband works for the American Embassy, and so we've been able to do a lot through that, getting visas and all different things that we're shocked as to how we're able to. And also, Jasmine has paid for quite a bit. She pays for Jackie's trips over here and she's helped out with so much of the medical, and she has paid for bodyguards, which has been very expensive. So Jasmine hired two more bodyguards from the embassy, and we were trying to buy time with the kidnappers, getting the money transferred, because it takes a while, and then you can only take out so much over there. So they told Jackie she had 24 hours to get the money, and already 4 hours had passed. And they said if we didn't pay, they were going to send a piece of her every day. So we still needed proof that Rima was alive. And they said that they didn't have any video on their phone. And so Jackie said to them to undo two of Rima's braids and have her smile and take a picture and send it. And that way Jackie would know she's alive. I said, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Why would you even say that as far as undoing the braids? And she told me, she said, when a black person dies, their hair freezes up and you can't undo the braids. And so she said that is proof that Rima would still be alive. So also in most cultures, superstition runs rampant, and that it's supposed to be bad luck to rape a deaf mute. And so that's what we were counting on, that they knew that she was deaf and mute and believed in the superstition. So Jackie got the money, and she went from the bank directly to the police station with the money. And as she was talking to the police officers, these other police officers came into the police station, and they said, we need you to come with us. So she said, okay. You know, so she went with her bodyguard, and they took her to this hotel across the street, and they wanted to take her into one of the hotel rooms. And she said, no. She said, if you have anything to tell me, you tell me here in the lobby. And so they said, well, it's your fault that the girls died. And she's going, what? And then they started asking her about Ricky. Ricky is Jackie's husband. And Ricky has been disabled for a number of years due to a severe beating. And then he had a brain tumor a couple of years ago. And so he's completely disabled. And so she says, why are you asking about Ricky? And then Jackie started thinking about there's some very evil men over there that have been trying to destroy her and her ministry. And so she thought, maybe they're involved. So she started bringing up their names, and these fake police officers started getting nervous, and they left. And so when they left, Jackie called her attorney. She called the real police, and they came over and got her. They said, oh, we're so sorry that happened, which that seems like a strange thing to me. But anyway, that's how things are over there. So when she got back to the real police station, she thought she was going to take out some ads for Rima. So she put some ads on TV and on the radio there. And very soon after she took out the ads, a woman called her and talked to her for quite a while and gave her a lot of detail. And she said, I think I know where the girl is. She said, there was this hut in our village. She said, my grandson and I were out looking for firewood, and the hut had been abandoned, but now there's somebody in it, and there's armed people around it, and we've been hearing screams come from it. And so Jackie said, well, tell me where it is. And she said, okay, for 7 million shillings. So Jackie said to her, she said, look, I'll give you a little bit now, and then if we get Rima back alive and well, I'll give you the rest. So early that next morning, Jackie went with two of her bodyguards, two of the policemen that they could trust, and Irene, Jackie's sister, and Davis, Irene's husband, and Jackie. So they drove the 2 hours to this village and met with this woman, and she wouldn't give them any other information until Jackie gave her all the money. And Jackie says, come on, you're a mother. And she said, no, I'm not giving you any information. So in faith, Jackie gave her the 7 million shillings. And so the lady had her grandson take them 6 miles into the bush, deep into the bush, to find this hut. And so they're hiking all the way out there, and they see it from a distance. And so then the grandson takes off and leaves the six of them there. Seven of them. So the two police and the two bodyguards went into this hut. and for an hour. There was shooting and screaming and just everything imaginable going on. And then after an hour, five girls and three boys come running out of the hut, and one of them was Rima. When Jackie saw Rima, she passed out. She had just looked completely emaciated. She hadn't eaten anything in 6 days. But because Jackie trains all of her kids in prayer and fasting, she was able to endure the time. All of the kids had been incredibly abused while they were in there. And they were in really, really bad shape. And so then they all had to hike the 6 miles back to get to the cars. One of the bodyguards had been shot also, and they were carrying some of the kids to get them to the cars. On the way to the hospital, three of the girls died. When they got there, one of the boys died. So they had gotten into the hospital. And like I said, they were all horribly used and abused by the men, except for Rima. She was the only one that wasn't raped. God had answered our prayers in that. You know, it's like, as I say it, my heart rejoices for Rima, but it breaks for these other kids. You know, it's just, the brutality is unthinkable. It is unthinkable. And like I said earlier, I'm giving you the sanitized version of this story. So the next day, Jackie went back to the hospital in Jinja, and she took Rima out of that hospital, and she took her to Kampala, to the American hospital. And we know some of the doctors there, and so we felt that she'd get better care there. She developed an infection, a really bad infection in her breasts while she was there, and she had been so traumatized that she wouldn't let anybody near her to treat her except Jackie. And so also during that time, while they had her in the Kampala hospital, all the rest of the kids had died. Finally, Dr. Dwyer came back from Norway. Dr. Dwyer, if you want to put up, there's Dr. Dwyer. Dr. Dwyer is an American doctor. He's from Oklahoma, and he's Jewish. And he has been such a faithful supporter of ours for, like, probably at least the last 7 or 8 years. He's been living over there for, I think, about 14 or 15 years. He's Jewish. He's a believer now. I had been praying for him for a long time, and through Jackie, he came to know the Lord. And he has been so incredibly faithful. He's become such a good friend to Jackie, to myself, and to our ministry. And not only does he care for our children and for all of them over there, but after Ricky had his brain tumor and was, you know, he needed full-time care for the rest of his life pretty much, that Dr. Dwyer took him out of the hospital and into his own home and has been caring for him in his own home for the last couple of years. He's a great man. So anyway, Dr. Dwyer came back from Norway. He had gone to Norway during the election. They told all the Americans to leave during that time because they knew it was going to be violent. And his daughter and grandkids lived there. And so he went there to be with him. And once he came back, we were relieved because we knew we would have a direct person to find out updates and what's going on. And he and I emailed directly. And so I could know what's going on there because the other doctors I didn't know. And then after he got back, Rima started to develop this strange thing on her skin, the skin around her neck and her chest, and it was like the skin was dying. And so they took blood, and the blood came out, and it was like black. It was really strange. And so they found out she had been poisoned. So you go from this high of getting her back to now she's fighting for her life again. And so they moved her right away to ICU. And the effects of the poison were really incredible. And I continued to ask Dr. Dwyer about her condition and was there any kind of treatment. And Dr. Dwyer was saying, I'm afraid this
will only be by the grace of God for her to get out of this. It's a deadly poison that kills the organs slowly, and it gets to the heart. But we're doing our best. And like I said, only prayers can change the situation. He said, I don't want to say it directly to Jackie, so do not either. But Rima might not escape this. I'm so sorry. And I said, I'm heartbroken, but I'm not giving up. I said, we have our whole church praying right now, and we are going to believe for this miracle. I said, God brought her back from the dead once before, and we must believe, and he can do it again. And Dr. Dwyer agreed. So after several days that she had been in ICU, I wrote back to Dr. Dwyer, and I said, because I had been talking to Jackie during that time, and I said, Jackie thinks you're ducking her. I said, what's going on? And he said, we lost her pulse, but we've gotten it back. I think we're losing her, but Jackie shouldn't know yet. I said, I'm praying that you will get her back and that many are going to be saved because of this. Please don't give up. I said, just like you didn't give up on Jackie. Jackie's heart stopped last year for 43 minutes, and Dr. Dwyer worked on her, and at 30 minutes, he stopped. And Jana and I were on the phone praying, and we said, Jackie has prayed people back from the dead. We are not giving up. And we were praying and praying, and he went back and started working on her again. And at 43 minutes, he got her back. And he told me, because right at 30 minutes was when we were praying that very thing, and he said, I had given up at 30 minutes, and he says, and then all of a sudden something told me to go back and keep working on her. I said, that's because we were praying that you would. So parts of this I'm going to read to you, because these are the email threads between me and Dr. Dwyer and me and Jackie, and they're just very telling the way that they're written. And I want you to know what I'm sharing with you, this whole story, everything is 100% true. Everything that has happened in there. And like I said, it's unraveling to this day. So I said, any updates on Rima? And he said, no, nothing yet. Her pulse is back and forth. Prayers, like I said, is all she needs. I said, we're praying with all of our hearts. The next day, I said, I've been praying all night. Any changes? Not yet. We put her on oxygen about 2 hours ago. I said, would a blood transfusion help? And he said, we tried that yesterday, but unfortunately, the blood is not helping at all. I said, how's Jackie holding up? I haven't heard anything from her since she told me she was going to fast. He said, I told her that in her condition, it's not good to start fasting. She said that God was asking her to fast for 3 days. What should I say? She went back home. Hopefully, she's still sleeping. She needs to rest and calm down. I wish she could go somewhere far away from this and just be relieved. But she's a strong woman. And what she always says to me is, I am a strong African woman. And boy, she is. She is. I said, next day, any updates, improvements? I haven't heard from Jackie at all. He said, Rima went into a coma. Jackie doesn't know this yet. She went to the village. Fasting, when she's around many people, will help her stress. I pray she stays there for some time as we see what happens next. I said, we are still not giving up on Rima. Is she intubated? Are you giving her fluids? Is there anything that could flush the poison out of her system? Please don't stop trying. He said, Carol, we're doing everything, and the doctors here just love her, so everybody is on her side. I said, I know you're doing all that you can in your power. I said, we just can't give up hope, but this is beyond us and beyond our power. And so I said, I'm declaring this right now, just as Jesus did with Jairus' daughter. Jesus took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. I said, that's what I'm praying, and that's what I'm declaring. And he said, our church, it's broadcast online, and so every week I send it to Dr. Dwyer and to Jackie and to Jana, so they're all watching the same message all the time. I said, he said, I have been watching the sermon you recently sent, and it was great. I screened it on our TV here at the hospital so my colleagues could watch too. Six of them were like, wow, powerful. Thank you for sharing. I said, I'm glad you watched. Wayne and I saw it this morning. They're all praying for Rima and Jackie at my church. I said, my heart has been so heavy for Jackie. Have you talked to her at all yet? No, her mother is doing a great job to keep her calm. Next day, any changes for Rima? Nothing yet, my friend. The next day, I said, Jana and I are all praying that this coma is a time that the Lord is healing every part of her, erasing every memory of what happened to her, even restoring her hearing and speech, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. Please talk to Rima and let her know you are there and that the Lord is there with her. He said, that's a powerful word. She's in good hands. Fighting this kind of poison is not easy. Her kidney is damaged. One of her kidneys is damaged. I said, I finally talked to Jackie for quite a while yesterday. She sounds much stronger now and has a better frame of mind. Any word on Rima? Rima is still in the same way. It will take time to revive from this. Prayers at the moment are all important, all that it's left for God to decide. I said, I'm not giving up. Prayers are coming in from around the world. And I wrote back, hey, Dr. Dwyer, I was just talking with Jana, and she was wondering if Rima responds to any physical stimulus. She was wondering if you know what the poison was. She thought maybe the symptoms were arsenic. We thought maybe that they had drank bad water, the kids that were in the hut there. He said no response yet. The doctor in charge said the poison is called botulinum, and the intake was excessive. That's why it's shutting the body system slowly. Jackie said she spent the night crying and praying for Rima, and then she saw breathing again. She said, the devil is fighting, but I'm standing on the solid rock to fight back. So this was Saturday, and she was going to be leaving for the States on Tuesday. She sounded in good spirits, and she said, my soul is happy and peaceful. So while I was talking to Jackie in that conversation, I got an email from Dr. Dwyer, and he says, I think we've lost Rima, but Jackie doesn't know. I replied, I've been praying all night for her. Are you sure? Do you think Jackie should come in and lay hands on her and pray? I said, she prayed her back from the dead once before. He said, Carol, the girl is gone. So cold. I don't know. He says, I'm not the one to give Jackie the news. I said, well, I can't do it. I said, I am always the bearer of bad news. I said, I can't do this. And so he said that he would have the doctor call from the hospital. And so as I was talking with Jackie, she said, oh, the hospital's calling. I've got to go. And I knew what the call was. So a couple hours went by, and I hadn't heard anything back from anybody yet. So I wrote to Dr. Dwyer. I said, what's happening? Is Jackie okay? And he wrote me back, and he says, how long have you known Jackie? He says, have you ever seen her getting out of hand? She came in and asked for Rima's body. And when we brought it in, she held one doctor who had been working on Rima and asked him to put her back on all the supporting machines. Reed refused, so Jackie got out of control. We had to close all the entrances inside the hospital because she was screaming and crying, and she forced the doctor until the poor guy put Rima back on the machines. She said, is it about the money? She asked. Then she told them to care for her as before. She said, Rima is not going home. She is staying here. He says, I've never seen Jackie like this before. So the doctor put Rima back on all of the machines. So I wrote him back. I said, Dr. Dwyer, I have known Jackie for over 10 years now, and I don't quite know how to explain it. But when God shows her something, it happens. And so God has given her a vision that Rima will revive. And I know it sounds crazy to the world, but I have seen God work through Jackie before. I said, look at your own life. I said, look at the miracles that she's answered in your own life. His daughter was infertile for years, and Jackie prophesied over her, and in her 40s, she had a baby. And then a couple of years later, she prayed over her again, and she had another baby. And Jackie even prophesied the day and the sex of the child, and the child was born on that day and that sex, and they named her Jackie. So I said, look at the miracles in your own life. So on this I must stand. I must stand with her and believe. I said, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days and God brought him back. And so I'm just going to believe that God is doing something bigger than just Rima and Jackie here. And I'm going to stand with her and believe. And so he replied, I agree with you. About 10 women are here to pray. Wow, I wonder who told the press and why they need to get the news about these two. I'm letting God drive. And so then I heard back from Jackie, and she said, they are telling me Rima is dead, and they took her off supporting devices. But they put her back on by force. I don't know what happened to me and where I got the energy. She said, Rima is alive. I said, did she wake up? And Jackie said, no. I said, I had visions of you laying hands on her and praying. I'm believing. Jackie said, let them put her back on the machines and God will do his job. I replied, so with the life support, is her heart beating? Jackie said, no, nothing, Carol. She's completely dead to the world, but not to me. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I feel something. I replied, I am totally believing that too, Jackie. I said, that is how I've been praying. She said, she's so cold, but God is working. I said, can you just stay with her and pray? Jackie said, every fluid they were pumping in her body is all coming out. But I don't care until 14 days from today. I'm not worried. I'm thanking and praising God. Crazy, huh? And I said, no, not crazy. I said, I'm believing with you. She said, am I a mean person? I said, no, you are a woman that serves a God that can do anything. I said, the world does not understand. And she said, thank you. I said, what did Dr. Dwyer say? And she said, he just told me, Jackie, I'm sorry. I said, I told him we're not giving up. So Jackie said, when I came in, he was afraid of me because I had held his friend by the pants by force. She said, I still don't know what happened, but after they put her back on the machines, I apologized to each one. I said, well, that's good because we want to keep them on our side. I said, I believe many people are going to be saved through this. I am standing on this. Jackie said, Lazarus died for 4 days and he woke up after. I said, I know. That's what I've been praying. So Jackie told me that she heard the voice of someone telling her to put on one song to pray for her called There Is a God. So she asked Dr. Dwyer to find it and play it in the room. And she said, I don't know who sang it either, but someone whispered to me, sang by three angels, meaning that the song should be sung by three people. Well, I looked it up and it came up right away. Phillips, Craig, and Dean, There Is a God. She said, oh, once you find it, please tell me what it means. Wow, this will preach to Rima. I said, my prayer warriors are here. We're going to pray for 2 hours nonstop. So Jackie's prayer warriors. Can we get that picture? These are Jackie's prayer warriors. They walked 21 miles, most of them with no shoes, to go and pray for Rima. These are strong African women. And Jackie said, they may look old, but the Holy Ghost in them is new every minute. I said, mine are here praying too. I said, are you still at the hospital? And Jackie said, just sitting here with Rima and the other ladies. We're going to pray again at 3 p.m. I told her that we're all fasting and praying here in the States. I said, Marcia's here with me and we're standing with you in faith. Jackie said, I am strong, more than before. I have a lot of energy in me. I said, I told Dr. Dwyer that he has been a recipient of your mighty prayers and he needs to believe too. Jackie said, his soul is weak, but he'll get it one day. I said, yes, he will. We're with you in spirit. Thanks so much. I said, is there anything else I can pass on? Everyone's asking. February 7th, any news? Jackie said, I'm just a mess now, but all is well. I just need a break from all this, girl. Are you okay? I said, yes, I'm fine. I said, I've been worried about you. She said, why? I'm alive. Jackie's very funny. She's got a very good sense of humor. I said, it's all a lot you've been going through. She said, I know, but I'm not shaken. I said, I know you're not. I said, thank God. Jana and I are still standing with you believing. Then she said, they want to arrest me, but they were so scared. So one doctor took me out through the garage. They wanted to arrest her for cruelty to the dead. So I guess that's a real thing over there. So the police were there. She even said that they got out the handcuffs. And she goes, what are you going to arrest me for? And they said, cruelty to the dead. She goes, I haven't done anything wrong. And she goes like this. You know, they're putting the... She goes like this. And then she folds her hands like this. And she goes, go ahead and arrest me. So... I said, did you listen to Pastor Kevin's message yesterday? We were studying Nehemiah, and it was all about opposition. She says, oh, yeah, I thought it was about me with all I'm going through. I said, yes, I thought it was exactly for you, and with the doctors not believing. She said, I saved that one. Dr. Dwyer watched it in the hospital on the big screen. I said, good. Then she said, Jasmine got a guard who will be watching Rima 24/7, so they will keep her on the machines. I said, oh, good. I was wondering how that would be after you left. Jackie was leaving for the States the next day because she was bringing a baby over for adoption. Adoption is just now opening up for us, and so she was bringing a baby over to Boston. So Jackie says, if she was dead, she would be smelling by now. But nope. And the medication they were putting in those drips is going in. Nothing has come out since this morning. I said, wow, that's a good sign. She said, many people want to look at me since I was in the papers for resistance to bury a dead body. She said, she's so stiff. I said, don't talk to anyone about this yet. Just let God work. Will they give you any problems leaving the country tomorrow? She said, I do what God asks. I said, I know you do. She said, I see myself in Boston. God will confuse them. I already prayed and it was answered. As I prayed for Jackie and Rima, hour after hour, day after day, I reminded God and myself of all the things that God had told us in his word, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus from the dead. Jesus told Martha that if she believed, she would see the glory of God. It says that we could say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be. We sing the song, do we believe it? Regarding the blind man, Jesus said this happened so that the work of God could be displayed in his life. What father has his child ask for bread? Would the father give him a stone? Remember with the woman with the unjust judge? It was her constant coming to him that made him answer her request. Nothing is impossible for our God. All I could do, and the most powerful thing I could do from a half a world away, was to pray without ceasing and to believe God at his word. February 8th, I was talking to Jackie. What time is your flight? 3:45. I'm boarding now. Hee hee. There was drama. But God is God. I said, what happened? And she said, crazy people are looking for me everywhere. I said, oh my gosh. I said, do you have the baby that you're bringing for adoption? Did Dr. Dwyer take you to the airport? She said, yes. So one guy there said, we saw your picture on TV and the police want you. And the other one said, no, she's not the one. The other one had a wig on and this one has braids. Then I checked in at the entrance to the plane, same thing. The lady was like a thorn in my feet. She got my passport, and she said, first finish the business you have with the police. And I just laughed. And the guy came, and he said, where's your ticket? And I pointed at my passport. And then she said, sorry, there is a confusion. God will always confuse them. I got the kid, and we're all set for first class. I said, you're in first class? And she said, ha ha. My seat was paid for double because I'm running late on boarding and the only one left was in first class. They had no choice. They had to give it to me and find space for the baby. Carol, when God elevates you, ha-ha, the devil can cry. This is why I love Jackie so much. She said, see you soon, my friend. I got to go. Dr. Dwyer and Irene took us. I said, you are amazing. So you're on the plane now, right? I said, be safe and let me know when you arrive in Boston. And she said, by the way, Dr. Dwyer saw everything. I warned him before not to intervene, but just watch what God does. I'm on the plane now. I pray this boy doesn't give me a headache, too. I said, I love you. I'm praying for every part of the trip. My church had been so faithful in praying for Rima and Jackie right from the beginning of this whole ordeal. My campus pastor called me that night to check in, that night that Jackie had left. He wanted to check in with me and get any updates on Rima. And I told him that Jackie was on her way to the States. And I told him that Rima was dead, but that Jackie insisted that she be put back on life support. And he very gently encouraged me that wouldn't Rima want to be safe in the arms of Jesus? And that the first thing that she would hear in over a decade was to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I said, I know. I said, I know all of this. I've thought of all of this. I said, but I know that God is doing something bigger here. And so I'm just going to stand with Jackie, and I'm going to keep believing that God is going to raise her from the dead. And I just know that many, many people are going to be saved through this. And I know, and I love this pastor so much, and he's just a prayer warrior, and he's so strong in his faith, but I know he thought I was crazy out of my mind. But I just knew that God was doing something here. And then the next night, I shared it with our home group. And we've been doing Zoom on our home group. And our home group has been so invested in Jackie over the years, both emotionally and through prayer and incredible generosity from this group of senior citizens. And as we were on the Zoom meeting and I was telling them what happened, I could see the look of grief and pity on their faces. And I knew that that they really thought that I had lost it and Jackie had lost it and that we should just let Rima go. And even one of them, she gently shared with me, she said, you know, Carol, even the ones that Jesus brought back from the dead, he only did it once. And we all kind of laughed about that. It's kind of funny, but true, you know, and I kind of felt my faith wavering a little bit at that moment, knowing that, you know, okay, well, he did only bring them back once, and it is appointed unto man once to die, you know, and it's not that I couldn't let go of Rima. I mean, we're all going to die at one point, but I knew that God was working here, and I knew that, like I said, that this was bigger than Rima and Jackie, and that God was going to do something. And so I just kept believing. So on February 11th, Rima had already died. Jackie had left for Boston. These are my continued conversations with Dr. Dwyer. He said, by the look of things, Jackie is likely to be arrested for interrogation about all this in case the girl is alive. More prayers for her and everyone. I said, would they arrest her if Rima's alive? That makes no sense. And he said, they call it witchcraft for non-believers. Ha ha. People are already coming in for info. So all of Kampala was buzzing about this. Later that evening, while I was making dinner, I received an email from Dr. Dwyer. Carol, I've been called to the hospital about Rima. Don't tell Jackie anything, please, for now. I will let you know, and I will let you know after I get there. I hate driving in the middle of the night. I said, I'm praying for you. Please let me know as soon as you know something. So I couldn't imagine that they would be calling him into the hospital in the middle of the night if something hadn't drastically changed with her, but I just didn't know what that change was. So several hours passed before I received the next email from Dr. Dwyer. Rima is getting warm. You know, from the body being stiff, and now it's getting warm with a weak pulse. Feels like we are all sucked up in a dream. but true. I said, I have been praying for this miracle. I believe that God is going to use this miracle to bring revival to Uganda. I said, I won't tell Jackie anything, but I think she already knows. Jackie's Facebook post that day read, "Friends, I am not asking you to pray for anything, rather asking you all to thank God for what he is about to do. He is keeping my hope alive." Yeah. He said, "I need to tap into you guys' anointing. No one has told her yet." I said, "Remember what Jackie said about Rima's braids? I said, you can't undo the braids of a black person that has died. The hair turns stiff." I said, "Can you undo Rima's braids?" And he said, "The nurse just undid three of them now, and the hair is softer than before. This is getting to my bones." I said, "That just gave me chills." I said, "What are the doctors and nurses saying? Are you still playing that song for Rima, 'There is a God'?" I said, "Play it for her." He said, "Everyone here is confused." I said, "You are there as a witness to the power of God, Dr. Dwyer. You tell them it's not witchcraft, that it is the true and the living God." The next day, any more updates? Irene and her husband came because I invited them, and when Irene saw Rima, she fainted. So she's been here since this morning. Rima's whole body goes on changing gradually from stiff and cold to normal. Everyone is scared to touch her or get near her. I said, "Oh my goodness." I said, "Did anyone tell Jackie? She posted something else on Facebook, like she knows. Doctor, lay hands on her and pray and let her know you're there and that God is there working. Play that song for her. Don't be afraid to preach the gospel, the good news to those who are around. God has placed you there to testify to what is happening. God is real and at work here." Jackie's Facebook post that day was, "When I start praying, I don't stop praying because I'm tired. I only stop when it's done and when my prayers have been answered." He said, "No, we're keeping it to ourselves." I said, "I haven't said anything." I said, "What did Irene say? What are the doctors and nurses saying? Be bold in your witness." He said, "Let's give it some time. Jackie said we keep the music on and only that song, so we were following orders, playing it 24/7. I said, "Yes, there is a God. I'm telling you, she knows things. So I didn't ask you before, but is Rima breathing on her own? Is she intubated? Is there any movement? I'm just wondering what you all are seeing. Praying for you all. Be bold in your witness, Dr. Dwyer. God has you there for a reason. Make sure you tell them it's not witchcraft, but the power of God Almighty to even raise the dead. I'm praying for you. This is bigger than Rima and Jackie." The next day, any updates? Not much, but Rima's body is almost getting to normal. Weak pulse, but with hope. Can't feel anything yet, so we're doing what we can. Continuing to pray. Will you test to see if there's any brain activity? That is scheduled Monday with my colleagues. It was meant to be done yesterday, but he got scared and took off. Someone will on Monday. How's Jackie doing? He said, "Now I respect that girl more than before from what I see, and I trust God more." I said, "Okay, I'm going to be praying for the activity in her brain. Be bold in your faith, sharing with the doctors that God is at work here. Don't be timid. We are all so grateful that you are there." I said, "I'm so proud of Jackie for all she's accomplished. You see now how just being with her causes your faith to grow." Pastor Kevin, our pastor, shared something this last week, and it reminded me of Jackie. It was a quote from William Barclay. Says, "Jesus promised his disciples three things, that they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble." And that's Jackie. Late at night, February 13th, scary but true, the girl just moved her fingers. Two nurses fainted on the spot. "Let Jackie rest." Oh my gosh, I'm praising God on high. He said, "I will miss my bed now. The administrator wants Rima to be transferred to another hospital because some doctors are scared of what's going on. Jasmine is trying her connections. If she leaves this hospital, then I won't know where to start from. Let's pray." I said, "We're praying." Next day, "What happened with the hospital? Are they letting her stay?" "Not sure yet." I said, "I've been praying all night. Any news? Have you talked to the hospital? Any more changes in Rima?" He said, I was called, but the only excuse I had was that Jackie, who is responsible for her, traveled and we're not sure when she's coming back. They said once she returns, she should take her out of here. She's been moving the fingers on her right-hand side. I think all this is causing a lot of fear for those who don't believe in God. Jackie is not told yet. She will know when she comes back. I said, I'm texting with her right now. I said, she's sounding discouraged. Does the fact that she's moving her fingers mean that there's brain activity? A couple of questions Jana has. She asked if you could look at the brain scan and see if it shows any reason or scarring from her loss of hearing and speech. Also, have some people lined up to testify on Jackie's behalf, like her pastor. I think Jana said there was also someone in the police in Jinja or the government that knows how important Jackie's work is. Is it possible to get Jackie's pastor to come down there and pray for Rima and maybe speak to the hospital on her behalf? Then he wrote back, they are waiting for Jackie to return, but as I sit on my computer now, Rima is breathing well, her whole body is warm, and her brain results are normal. God, God, God. I apologize for reading all this, but I want to just get it verbatim because it's just so good. Jackie's pastor visited yesterday, and the hospital doesn't want anybody else but Jackie. I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, is there anything I can tell Jackie? She is sounding kind of discouraged to me. No, please, let her enjoy her stay. I said, you're killing me. All she thinks about is Rima. I said, just a word that things are positive, anything. He said, let's see how things are going first, then you can tell her. I said, okay, I'll wait. February 15th, I've been awake for hours praying. Any news to tell me? No, Carol, still the same. The hospital is waiting for Jackie to return home. I said, they're still allowing her to be treated, though, right? I think Jackie leaves for Uganda on February 23rd. Yes, I know, but we need to buy time. I said, but she's already had the brain scan, right? That showed brain activity. Yes, she did. February 16th, any update today? I had a long phone call with Jackie yesterday. She sounds good. Please, can I tell her something? No, not yet. Please, not yet. I said, okay, no changes for 2 days now? Nothing yet. February 17th, anything today? February 18th, 1:23 a.m. And this has happened a couple of times where the Lord wakes me up right as that email comes in and tells me to look at my phone. And so I looked at my phone and it says, Carol, 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 praise Jesus from on high. It's all over the news about Rima. This morning, Rima was found in her room, sitting on the bed, tapping her feet on the floor with the flow of the beat of the song. Her guard was found in deep sleep, and the nurse too. Rima is alive. I'm leaving all I have been believing in and just praise God without doubt. People are all over the place waiting to see her. They said she has seen heaven and so should pray for them. They are also looking for Jackie, busy with the examination right now. I said, praise God, praise God. I said, can I please tell Jackie now? And then I said to him, I said, just wondering, is she hearing? Is her speech back? He said, she can hear now, no words yet. I said, can I please tell Jackie in the morning? And then I just counted that today is the 14th day since Rima died. Jackie told me the day she died, she would give it 14 days. He says, okay, but I'm still worried about her. I said, worried about Jackie or Rima? He said, Jackie, of course. He said, she has aphasia, which affects the speech and the brain. This attacks mostly the brain. She still needs prayers for total healing. No talking yet, just tapping her feet since 4 a.m. We are putting her back on the poison medication as it's still reflecting in her system. I don't know what to think now. I said, when you get a chance today, read Luke chapter 8. It so reminds me of what's happening, not only with Jairus' daughter, but also Jesus healing the demon-possessed man. The people were all afraid and asked Jesus to leave them. We need to be bold in preaching what God has done here so they will not be afraid of Jesus, but they will follow him. Jana and I are praying for revival there. I asked, does she recognize you? Does she still seem traumatized, or is she calm now? I said, I believe that God has not finished the healing process with Rima. That good work that he started, he's not finished with yet. He said, we don't know what caused her to be deaf and mute in the first place. She is calm now. I can't believe I witnessed this myself. Tell Jackie the police are looking for her so she can pray about it. So I have your permission to tell her now, right? Sure, you handle it. So for the next 12 hours, I tried to contact Jackie, both calling her and texting her. She was in Boston now. She had brought the child to be adopted, and she was going to be flying down to Nashville the next day to visit us. She was coming for my daughter's wedding, and I wanted to give her a little bit of time to process all this before the wedding and all the people were around and everything. But the day was almost gone, and I didn't want to tell her when she's getting on the plane or anything like that. And I was getting worried about her because I hadn't heard from her all this time. So I emailed Jasmine, who was in Maine at the time, and she contacted her husband, who had Jackie in Cape Cod, to see if everything was okay. So her husband told her that Jackie had spent the whole day praying and fasting from her phone. So I said, well, if she'd answer her phone, she'd know she got what she was praying for. So I ended up not being able to tell her until the next evening. Her plane was late getting in, and we're waiting at the airport, and we're late for the rehearsal dinner. So finally, I got her in the car, and we're on our way to the rehearsal dinner. And I'm trying to think of a way to break the news to her, you know, so she didn't pass out or anything. So I said to her, you want some good news? And she said, sure, what's your good news? I said, Rima's alive. And she goes, are you kidding me? And yet, she was shocked, but she wasn't. And I read to her all of Dwyer's emails, and we were just all crying and rejoicing and praising God. We got through a whirlwind weekend of Snowmageddon, the rehearsal dinner, the bridal shower brunch the next day, the wedding the next day. Jackie left the next morning, that Monday morning, and she was flying back to Uganda on Tuesday. And she had told me when we were in the car, I said, you know, I tried to reach you all day yesterday to tell you this. And she said, well, if you had, I wouldn't have come because I would have made Jasmine change the ticket and go straight back to Uganda. I said, I know. And before she came to my house, somebody from one of the last speaking engagements I had done had generously donated 4 boxes of baby clothes. There were 215 baby outfits for Jackie. And she had brought a suitcase filled with product for me. And so we took all that out, put all the baby clothes in. We had 2 big, heavy suitcases filled with the baby clothes. And so I was kind of concerned that they were going to be overweight, you know, when I took her to the airport. And she told me, she said, God has already weighed them and they're fine. And so we put them on the scale, and of course they were fine. And when she got back to Boston, they had 11 more suitcases filled with clothes and supplies and all kinds of stuff for her. And so at the airport, the lady from Arab Emirates who was in charge, she saw Jackie short and lost in all the bags, and she asked whose bags, and Jackie said, mine, of course. And I told her why I have all these, and she said, this is my contribution to your ministry. I saw you on the news while in Kampala. Just go. Don't pay anything. And it costs a lot to ship 13 bags over there. And then she said, God will always put those people in the path, the journey you are assigned to. And you know, I just got to say, Jackie reminds me of a cross between Corrie ten Boom and Forrest Gump. Because I'm telling you, the people she meets and the places she goes, God just prepares the way for her every step of the way. Jana and I were very concerned for Jackie, hoping that she wouldn't get arrested when she got back to Kampala. I don't know why we were so worried. God is obviously in charge. So Jackie's return to Kampala, February 25th. I wrote to Dr. Dwyer, did Jackie get back yet? Irene and I are at the airport waiting for her now. Then after they got her and she got to the hospital, he wrote me, it's been so hard for Jackie. She hugged Rima for 20 minutes in tears of praise. Of course, everyone was looking from the mirror. Rima is weak with fever, but she hugged back the whole time. Thank God we went through the garage after what happened at the airport. We delayed an hour because people were asking her questions, but she was smart. She kept saying she doesn't have any idea what they were talking about and who the person on the poster was. The posters had Jackie's picture, but her hair was different and she had a coat on. Ha ha, God is God. And I tried to get you all a picture of the wanted poster. Jackie goes, there was a wanted poster? I said, yeah, that's what that was. And I asked Dr. Dwyer, and he said he had one, and somebody took it. So I'm still trying to track that down. But he said, we're all at home now at my house. She's super tired, but she'll go see Rima tomorrow and talk to the hospital administrator. So I texted Jackie if she had seen Rima yet. She said, I got scared to get to her, but finally did. Unknown police are busy waiting for me at the airport with the wrong picture. Ha ha, fools. Rima, I can say, is in recovery now. She got malaria, but still on medication from the hospital. Too thin, but truly alive. Going back today to see what the hospital is saying. I said, we're praying for God's favor for you. I'm so glad that you got to see Rima and she's recovering. I said, I'm collecting money for Rima's medical bills. We have almost what we owe so far. I'm sending it to Jana tomorrow. Our friends and home group have been very generous. I said, what was it like to see Rima? She heard you? Did she recognize you right away? Did she try to talk? She said, no, she just kept looking at me. She's so weak. I tried to turn off the song, and she shook her head at me, so I turned it back on, and she nodded yes. She looks scary with her eyes jumping out of the socket, but she's mine. I just have to deal with all this. She eats through a tube. The jaws can't chew for now, a little stiff to open, but God is working. I am meeting with a hospital administrator later today. I hope they don't mess up my mood. I said, how did things go with the hospital administrator? She said, first of all, the hospital wants me to take Rima out, thinking we will not be able to pay the bill. And second, the people who keep coming to see her were scaring the security of the hospital. But I told them to do what God wants them to do, period. She said, as I was stepping out, the director called to me and said, young woman, I am not a believer, but from what I have seen, I want to know the God you serve. And I prayed with him. I'm telling you, this is bigger. And so I prayed with him and told him to go to church on Sunday and tell me how he feels on my next visit. So he allowed Rima to stay until she is free to go home. Jackie also renegotiated the cost of Rima's bill for ICU for all those days. It was originally $320 per day. After Jackie came back, then they reduced it down to $210 a day. So we paid the balance up until she got back. We still have the balance from that point until March 28th. And at March 28th, God blessed us with insurance somehow for Rima that she will be 100% covered for the rest of her life. So We're still working on that one little stretch of the payment, but God is God, and that's, we're just standing on that. The next day with Rima, she's still the same, can sit up for a little time, looks at me, no smile yet. They're putting something around her jaws to relax them. When I said I should be going home, she shook her head no. I said, so she heard you. Oh, yeah. The next day, the fever is going down. They're introducing new food to her that will help her body bounce back fast. I said, let me go back to Jinja. She tapped her feet so hard with her head shaking no. still weak in the body, but promising. Each time I see her, I get chills. March 1st, hey, Dr. Dwyer, we collected the hospital balance, the money for the hospital balance for Rima. It will be available tomorrow. Now, they are expecting violence again to break out there because it's going to court about the election. And so they evacuated all the Americans again. The embassy was pretty empty, and they had told Dr. Dwyer to leave again to go back to Norway. So we were kind of concerned about that. So I said, by the way, what did you decide about staying or going back to Norway? And he said, thanks for the update, and thanks for the effort to raise all that. She bargained with the administrator and got a discount for each day. The doctor wants to go to my church next Sunday, and I have been sharing your messages with him. I have decided to stay and help Jackie and Ricky and the others. If anything happens, the embassy will protect its people. I said, you should see the smile on my face right now. I said, on so many levels, God is writing a story bigger than we could have ever imagined. I truly believe many will be saved. Counting on you to disciple your friend. Let me know if he needs a Bible. I said, the series Kevin is preaching on is on miracles. We have experienced them firsthand. Thank you for choosing to stay. You know that God will be with you and bless you. He said, Jackie came back with two good, easy-to-read Bibles, and she gave him one, having Pastor Wayne on the cover. That's my husband. So she gave his Bible. That will be, okay. I asked him, I said, by the way, is Reed the doctor that wants to go to church? Reed is the doctor that she held by the pants and forced to go on life support. So I said, is Reed the doctor that wants to go to church with you, or is it the hospital administrator? He said, both, Reed and the director, David. Reed asked Jackie to pray over him the day she returned, and she gave him one of the Bibles, and David, the director, got the other. That's why she got a discount. Ha ha. That girl has some magic I want to tap into. When she was here with us in Nashville, I asked her what she wanted. I wanted to give her something. She said the only thing that she wanted was a good study Bible. She had given Dr. Dwyer her favorite one, and so Wayne gave her two more. I said, I'll have to tell him she needs another. He will be very happy to get her one. God bless those Bibles and those doctors. And she said, so he's telling me this, she said when Wayne asked her which Bible to take, she said both, because the Holy Spirit had showed her two angels in the kingdom. I love the one that she gave me. It's a blessing to me. She is so selfless. I said, there's no one else like her. March 8th, Rima is improving each day. She smiles now. She can walk a few steps on her own. She is eating soft puree foods and even a banana. The wounds on her breasts are still healing. She will have multiple tests and scans tomorrow. Jackie is suggesting not to do them because they are very costly. Jasmine has offered to pay for them. We still have a balance of the hospital bill to pay for. Jana and I both felt that the hospital should be paying us for Rima being there and having a miracle at their hospital. Jackie agreed. March 9th, Dr. Dwyer's report on the scans. Everything looks okay. Only one of her kidneys is damaged. They were saying that they would need to remove that kidney, otherwise it would affect the other kidney. Jackie says the doctors are wrong somewhere. Jackie said, repeat the test in 7 days. The doctors must have been tired when they did the test, and they should do it again when they're fresh. Also, she has no skin cancer from the poison. Many of the Ugandans died of skin cancer from that poison. It turns out so many Ugandans had been poisoned because the tear gas had this botulinum in it, and that's why so many were infected. They didn't know why the kids that we had rescued died right away because they didn't do autopsies on them. They had all been poisoned, and so many had, and if they hadn't died of the poison, they were dying of the skin cancer. So no skin cancer. And the best news of all, Rima has no memory of the trauma that happened to her. March 10th, I asked Jackie if Rima had seen heaven. Did she see Jesus? She told me that the lady from the BBC was asking her with the other doctors there if she had seen anything or how it was. This is what Rima said through sign language. All the people were wearing white and eating lots of good food and all happy, but someone with wings carried her and was entertained. She was sleeping in a good bed, all white. After she was told to touch the other people on the side who were dirty, and then they all became clean. So after, she was told to go finish the boss's work. So one person with wings carried her back after blowing in her mouth. She says she still loves the golden table with all the foods and the honey that she loves the most. I'm telling you, I can't wait to see what other work that the boss has for Rima. I believe that the effects of this story have only just begun. The last post that I have to share with you, and I'm sure this is not the end of the story, but this is the last post. It was on March 16th, 1 week since that kidney scan. Remember Jackie said that they should redo it? So we called in a specialist to rescan Rima's infected kidney. It was perfect, of course. Carol, everything is amazing here. This girl has brought many in the hospital to faith. I want to close out by sharing that song with you. I don't know if you've ever heard it before. Phillips Craig and Dean, There Is a God. And this was playing 24/7 to Rima the entire time. She was dead and she came back. And so I want you to hear it, and then we'll close up after that.
If there is a God who holds the whole world in his hand, then where were you when mine came crashing down? If there is a God who tells the sun and the stars where to shine, then where were you when all the lights went out? These are the questions from a heart desperate to know just where you are. Right now I can't see you, but I'm choosing to believe there is a God who never left me. there is a gap.
There is a God. There is a God in heaven, and he loves you. Do you believe that? Do you believe it today, after all that we've shared? Are you still doubting? Are you afraid to sit in that chair? Are you afraid to believe that he is going to hold you up, that he is faithful? You know, God doesn't always answer the prayers the way we hope, and we didn't know how this was going to work out, and you know, our hearts still grieve for Linda and Sylvia and all of the others that lost their lives during this time. But God had a purpose in all this, and like I said, I believe that many, many will be saved through this, and I believe that many believers will have their faith encouraged by this. We had so many people that were praying for Rima from all over the world, and I wasn't able, I would share posts on Facebook, but I really wasn't able to share the entire story or even a lot of it on there because, it was so touch and go the whole time. But so many people, their faith was increased because of it. And so my prayer for each one of you today, that you will leave this place with a renewed faith that there is a God and that he loves you and that he cares about every detail in your life. I mean, when you listen to this story, every single detail that we prayed for Rima, God answered that. I mean, and I do believe that Rima will talk again one day. It was funny because the other day they were taking her in for the scan, and there, Rima has a gift of prophecy like Jackie does, and now that she's come back to life, she is just, in sign language, kind of blabbering everything all over the place, and so I'm kind of thinking maybe that's why God's not having her talk yet, because as she was going in for the scan, there was a British woman and her husband that were going into the delivery room. Rima had never seen them, never met them or anything. And she signed to Jackie, she's going to have her babies in 15 minutes and she's having twins. And sure enough, they came out 15 minutes later and it was twins. So I do think Rima is going to talk one day. I think the Lord's just kind of holding it back for right now. But my prayer for you is that your faith will be ignited through this retreat, and that we will leave here this weekend as changed vessels, that we're never going to walk the same way again. We're never going to walk in doubt. We're not going to walk in unbelief. You know, it was unbelief that kept the Israelites from entering into the promised land. We want to enter in, don't we? We want to enter into that promised land. So let's pray. And are we... Oh, you're going to come back up, right? Yeah. And the worship team, too. You want me to close in prayer? You want to just wait and close? Okay. Okay. That sounds good. That's what Jackie would say. Oh, one other thing before we close. If anybody wants any information from me on Faith Women Ministries or on sponsorship or anything like that, just contact me back there, or you can call me anytime, and you probably won't be able to shut me up. So just with that. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and I thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness and your grace, Lord. I thank you for the gift of returning our precious Rima to us, Lord. But also in praying that, Lord, I know you are doing something bigger, and I know that you are going to cause many, many people to come to faith because of this, Lord. Not just because Rima is alive, but because you are alive, and you are a God, Lord, that you sent your one and only beloved Son into this world to die on the cross for our sin so that we might spend eternity with you. Lord, if there is anybody here who does not yet know you, Lord, I pray that now, even right at this moment, that they would realize that you are real and that everything that you've said is true, and that they would give their lives to you even right now, Lord, that they would repent of their sin,
They would ask you to come into their heart, to be their Lord and Savior. And Lord, that they would live for you all the days of their lives. Lord, for those of us who have been walking with you for a while, Lord, I just pray that this would be a time of renewal, recommitment to you, Lord, and that we will leave this place with our heads held high, knowing that you are a God that hears and answers our prayers, and we're going to pray in a whole new way, Lord. We're not going to say, if you can do this, Lord, but we're going to ask you boldly in faith, Lord, to hear our prayers and to answer them, Lord. And Lord, as we waver sometimes, we say, Lord, we believe. Please help our unbelief. So, Lord, we give all this over to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the miracle of Rima, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for the, Lord, for the prayer warriors and the people that you've sent alongside to help us in this ministry, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you're doing over there. Bless your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, ladies.